Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
How many have enjoyed the last 2 weeks on the weapon of innocence? I'm trying to close it up a little bit today. I want to hit some things on it that are completely revelatory. This week, I got saved a couple times again. I didn't know what to title today. I mean, I'm calling it for our live stream and our library. I'm calling it the Weapon of Innocence Part 3, but really and truly, I'd subtitle it Innocent Thoughts. I really encourage you to go back and listen to the first two messages, because it is the process that God basically took me back through that in 1993 when Jesus walked through the wall. He ministered to me directly, face to face. Some of you met sweet baby Jesus. I met the Lion of Judah. Basically, straighten up or I'm going to kill you. And I straightened up. But I was also tenacious enough to tell him that I wasn't going to try to serve him any longer without a different heart. I had been saved at 5, but I did not get converted till 1993. Some of you need a conversion, not a salvation. Some of you need a conversion, not deliverance. Some of you need a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Listen, I don't think it was a coincidence that Stephanie went to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because in some of the denominational faiths, there's this, the Pentecostal wholeness, Jesus only. I think they got more going on than we do in some of this revelation. They've turned it into a little more religiousness, a little more dogma than I'm real comfortable with. But I have a feeling that it might be about Jesus. Can you say that? Woo-hoo. It's all about him. He thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. Jesus, that is. And I've come to the conclusion that until you've been baptized with the baptism of innocence, you will not be able to see the power of the cross in its right dimension. And until you have a baptism of innocence, you really don't know how to properly receive the Father's love. Because daddy's trying to hug you and you're going like this. I'm not innocent enough to receive your love. we preached in the last 5 or 6 weeks about him hanging on the cross naked and not ashamed. But in his culture, nakedness was the worst form of humiliation and shame. And he did not hang up there with a loincloth. It's time to quit putting a covering over something that was actually for you and me. Because if you're carrying shame and you don't realize he removed your shame, then you'll never walk in innocence. There's no place for shame if you're innocent. We've been preaching, forgive your brother. The problem is, in forgiving your brother, there's still a record. But declaring them innocent, you lose the record. Hello. And I'm telling you, this is not an easy walk. This is not for cowards. See, you want to receive the baptism of innocent, but have you declared somebody that did you wrong innocent yet? On the other side of the cross, before the cross, the law said that if you committed adultery, it was a sin. Jesus said, listen, I'm bringing you a new commandment. If you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery. Holy moly. Guilty as charged. So what's the greater definition of forgiveness, innocence? I've come to the conclusion that if I will pursue the fruit of the Spirit, I'll walk in innocence instead of pursuing the gift of the Spirit. the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit is abusive. And I mean, we're kind of a full gospel church here. We kind of like the gifts. But so what? You're just a mean prophet. You're judgmental, critical, and you don't love, and you don't want to get dirty. Because you have such an Old Testament theology that if the leper touches you, you become unclean. No, if I'm innocent and you touch me, you get innocent. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did Susie put that in parentheses? Even eating. Yeah, I know. You wrote in my notes. Self-control. You're too fat. You know, she changes scriptures. I've caught her changing scriptures in the Bible. She did. She took her Bible out and she crossed out submit to your husband. She crossed it out. But she did write yield in love. She's, I can do this. This submission stuff, nah, the S word. So, S. Okay, here's the last part of 23. My Lord. Against such things, there is no law. What is the Bible telling us? The Bible says that if you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, if you walk in love, Stephanie touched it, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What does that mean? It means that the enemy can't bring an accusation to me. It means that I am so innocent that there's nothing you can do. Listen, and if I choose to love you, even if you're unlovable, you can't do nothing about it. It's a choice to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. The problem is we haven't been filled with the Spirit enough to actually bear fruit. Let me say that again. Yeah. Verse 24, and those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Listen, if you're in Christ, have you experienced the cross and crucified your flesh? Until you do, you won't walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Until you embrace the power of the cross and embrace the infusion of Jesus Christ and experience the pain that he went through, you'll never have the joy of the other side. Yeah. Psalms chapter 1, it says that you sit in the council and you sit in the seat of the scornful. You remember the message I preached on that? Listen, I am judgmental, I'm critical, I'm prophetic, I can see your junk. The problem is I'm not mature enough to take your junk into intercession and tell you what it's supposed to be. Yeah. And when he put my seat and he put three nails on the bottom of it and they were sticking up about a half an inch, he goes, now sit in your judgment. And it hurts when you feel his nail prints. Listen, you need to be crucified with Christ. You need to have the encounter, the experience of the cross. Otherwise, you'll judge incorrectly. So how do I judge someone's behavior and still call them innocent? Real quiet in here. You judge them through the cross, through what's already been accomplished. So if their behavior does not line up with what needs to happen, there's immaturity somewhere. This is why he says you must come as a child. The problem is we're not mature enough to recognize somebody else has weaknesses, and we don't realize love covers a multitude of weaknesses and sins because we don't really want to be involved with somebody's life enough to go, hey, dude, this is inappropriate, and you need to mature in this area because this is not your identity. Your behavior is manifesting. You don't know who you are. Anger's outburst of anger. What is that from? Being offended? Being immature, not knowing who you are. oh, don't call that the fruit of the Spirit. That's not righteous anger. Man, there's bunny trails all over this place. Verse 25 of Galatians 5. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be in step with the Spirit. See, everybody wants Jesus to lead them, but you don't want to live by it first. Well, God just needs to lead me. No, you need to get started. That was good. Listen, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. For we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. How many are righteous? Why are you still trying to fulfill the law? What is the law designed for? The law is designed to show you that you need Christ. So if you're not using the law as a magnification of how much you need to, what'd she say? Turn your eyes on Jesus. Find Christ. Find out where you are applying the law, where actually grace has already matured you. If you have not had a baptism of innocence, your righteousness will be self-righteousness and will not. It'll be under the law. All right, I'm going somewhere. Hang, you guys good? But for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers, that's rebellion against your parents, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which has committed to my trust. He's saying, listen, the law has been fulfilled in Christ, and we keep dragging ourselves back under the law instead of walking in the Spirit. Did Jesus say it was finished at the cross? What does that mean to you? What's done? Everything you need is done. So he finishes it and hands the baton to us. Did he finish it? Then what are we doing with his finished work? We're backbiting. We're angry. We're critical. We're fearful. We're judging. Then it's not finished. Galatians 6, 2 and 3. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, you're supposed to fulfill the law of Christ, not the old law. See, on this side of the cross, after resurrection, there's a law. The law is Christ. Anything that is on the wrong side of the cross is judgmental. It's death. It's exposure. It's mean. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. All right, let me just settle something right here. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still preaching to myself. Okay? But I am working on it. I believe this week God gave me a mystery of the cross that has blown me away. I ran it by some elders. I ran it by my son who looked it up and said, I'm not crazy. I ran it by Bill Vanderbush and said, woo-hoo, about time you got saved. So I have been reborn, born again. Do you believe God finished reconciliation with man at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection? So it's finished. Why do we keep dragging everybody to the cross then? Bear one another's burdens. So are you under the law? You're under the law of Christ. So when someone says, oh, you know, you don't believe in the law. Oh, yes, I believe in the law. I believe the law of Christ. Read that scripture. bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm trying to be slow here because I want you to get this. What law are you under? The law of condemnation? The law of accusation? The law of division? The law of denominationalism? Or the law of Christ that says you're innocent? Dang, what do you do with that? Okay, but your behavior's not lining up. Okay, now that I know who I am, I'm more mature, let me bear your burden with you and help you figure out who God says you are. Bring your proper identity. Let me tell you what. I have multiple identities, but one personality. Charlie Coker has multiple identities, one personality. To a few people, I'm a father. To some people, I'm a pastor. To some people, I'm a prophet. Others, I'm an apostle. To one lady in this house, I'm a husband. I'm a brother to a few sisters. I'm a brother to the body. I'm a businessman. See all the different identities? Every identity has its own protocols of what is the proper behavior for that identity. But there's one really funny personality behind all that. I have a personality that blends into every one of those identities. But when the behavior does not line up with Christ-like, there needs to be adjustment. Is this making sense? So your identity will actually determine your behavior. God doesn't want to kill your personality. He might want to change your language. Oh, that was too good. Bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, then he is nothing. He deceives himself. See, we're worried about the devil deceiving us when we haven't figured out that we're deceiving ourselves because we won't bear one another's burdens. We're running, well, the devil's going to deceive me. No, he's already done that because you think you're something you're not. Man, you're all quiet. Okay, Galatians 6, 4 and 5. But let each one test his own work and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. This is innocent boasting, and this is religious boasting. Listen, you're gonna have to work out your salvation. The problem is you're supposed to boast in what you've accomplished. The problem is we want to boast in something that we didn't do. That's called pride. That's called arrogance. Read this again. Let each one test his own work. You need to quit judging other people and judge yourself. For this reason, to boast will be on himself alone and not his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Listen, you got to have an experience at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get a baptism of innocence and then work on your immaturities. Work on your faithfulness. I love these people. Well, I just do what God says. Really, have you really spent time with God the Father? Because I'm telling you, if you'll figure out that God the Father is a good father, he's a good guardian, and he will tell you to submit to somebody that will love you enough to come you to maturity. People run around, I only listen to God. Well, get out of here. Then what good am I? I'm responsible for your soul. No, just God. Well, then how did that work out for you, Ralphie? You crash and burn, and then you're mad at God. And the bottom line is God needs us to position ourselves to let someone help us bear our burden. You think you're going to grow all by yourself. The problem, if you continue to stay by yourself, you'll build your own kingdom and not his. The reason to boast will be on you. Listen, I know I get accused that Ron had a friend who listened to one of our things, and what did he call me? Arrogant, prideful, boasting, and it ticked me off. So I took this opportunity to rip him a new one. It was kind of an accusation thing, and I just kind of stepped right into it and told him, listen, you know, let me boast a little bit. I recovered a marriage. I recovered pornography. I recovered a son on drugs. I recovered a son doing stupid stuff. By the way, what's your report card look like? I tick him off pretty good, didn't I? The whole group kind of a little wrestling. That personality thing I got. What am I telling you? Listen, I can boast a little bit on what me and God has accomplished, because when God told me I'm going to heal your marriage, she wasn't convinced. She wasn't behaving like he was going to be convinced. She was doing everything she could to prove me wrong and God wrong. And guess what? Susie lost. We're married 39 years on Friday. I can brag on that a little bit. That's boasting. Why? I couldn't do that without God saying, I'm going to heal your marriage. My kid was on drugs. I can't heal him. Only believe what God said. The finished work of the cross says, this is the way it's going to be. Do you believe it? Now walk in it and apply the principles that I've given you. That's not arrogant. That's boasting in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and ability to hear God, have a plan, and walk by the Spirit. Was I perfect? No. Not at all. I need mercy and grace. I need peace and mercy. And where I failed, I repented. Where I failed, I said, man, this isn't, you're calling me a prophet. And I can't go, listen, I can remember God telling me to go preach. And I used his word against him. Your word says, if your household is not intact, you shouldn't go try to preach the household of God. So what are you doing telling me to go preach when my kid's this and my wife don't like me and all this? He goes, you might want to do some of this by faith. That's not fake it till you make it. It's just fake it till you believe it. So is that boasting? It's not pride when you're just as shocked as everybody else that you've still been married 39 years. Listen, I'm shocked. How about you, Sue? There we go. Listen, this recovery process was tough, man. God told me we were going to have money one day, and we're going to do this one day, and do all this with finances. I'm like, God, you promised. He goes, can't trust you yet. Why? I said, because if you had the money I promised you, she'd leave you. You know, we stayed married for a while because we couldn't afford to separate. Might be why some of you are broke. Wow, was that a shot? Sorry. Sorry. Oh, Jesus. So what I'm saying is, let's change the word to braggadocious testimony of how good God is. I mean, when his friend had called me arrogant, I'd love to compare our report cards. I'm prophetic enough to know the guy was accusing stuff that he could not pull off himself, which means he wouldn't put me in a position to help him bear his burden and challenge him to live better. Am I right? Okay. I'm just getting Ron's approval. for throwing his whole friends under the bus. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. This baptism of innocence is the beginning point of everything I'm reading in Scripture again. And I am finding that as I have been baptized in innocence, I'm not as mature as I thought I was. The baptism of innocence in my heart for the last 3 or 4 weeks has brought me to a revelation that I don't know squat. And some of the things that I have bragged about, I bragged about because God was good, but I didn't have an understanding on how it works. Let's do scripture. Verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you in my own hand. Who's writing? Apostle Paul. To those who want to make a good showing in the flesh, who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may be persecuted, may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Be like me. See, when the accusation came, it called me arrogant, called me prideful. I'm like, here's my report card, dude. If I'm not careful, I will add religion to it, and I will demand that a person does what I did. And then I'll make a couple little Charlie Coker disciples who do exactly what I did and turn it into a formula, and then I'll boast how many people are following me and not Christ. Because your journey is going to be different than mine. They boast in your flesh. See, the religious boast on how big their church is, but really and truly they're saying they don't really want to be persecuted because of the real gospel. They would rather have man be pleased than God. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Did you hear that? Which the world, who's writing this? Which the world has been crucified to who? Who's writing? The world's been crucified to Paul? Oh, so you? I thought the cross was finished. The work of Christ was finished. What is he saying here? The world has been crucified to Paul. He had a revelation, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. I'm seated in heavenly places. Bill Vanderbilt said in Romans, Revelation 3, he sits on the great white throne of judgment. So why can't he say that? Listen, if you see this, you can't unsee it. Did Jesus say it was finished? Ron, it's finished. Everything that the cross did, it's finished. He walks over and he hands you the baton and said, own it. I reconciled the world to me, Jesus said. Now I give it to you. Some of you won't want to see this because you don't want the responsibility to love people. I don't want the responsibility to get dirty because I'm so clean. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If you've received the cross of Jesus Christ, the world's been crucified to you and you to the world. See, if you don't go to you to the world, then you become hierarchical and everybody submits to me. No, you got to be willing to bear your brother's burden. I got to help my brother through his weaknesses. I have to help my brother through his immaturity. I have to might have to do a little deliverance on that personality. Is it finished? Who did he hand it to? So let's change this. The world has been crucified to Charlie Coker. Can you put your name in it? All right, does it change how you view every situation? We pray, and there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in his name. Well, there's power in you. Here we go again. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Are you a new creation? The problem is we all have experienced new creation theology and experience. Have we not? The problem is religion stole us and took us back under the law and brought guilt, shame, and a hamster wheel of performance instead of walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Am I making sense? Verse 16, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon you. So if you're wrestling to have no peace, you're not following the rules. If you're looking for mercy because of your behavior, you haven't followed the rules. So don't be coming up to me and asking me to pray for peace. That's in your department. Yeah. Don't ask me for mercy. That's in your department. Yeah. Oh, maybe you're not getting mercy because you're not giving any. Maybe you can't blessed are the peacemakers because you aren't at peace. Oh, that's good. That's good. I know it's good. How many have been troubled by things? Just messing with you. Let me go on and read this. Verse 16, as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon you and upon the Israel of God. Verse 17, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. Excuse me. I've been married for 39 years. Are you telling me I've had trouble because I didn't understand? All right. If you're always in trouble and there's always something troubling you, you haven't realized that it was finished and handed you. Okay. Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's a small s. The problem is we haven't been converted in our real inner being. All right. Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5. Judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Wow. Listen, if the world's been crucified to you and you've been crucified to the world, how are you going to judge? Listen, this is a Matthew 7 scripture. This is before the crucifixion. This is before the resurrection, and it's a warning. Be careful how you judge. He's telling Old Testament covenant, Old Testament Jews who are the worst. Dude, you can't pick wheat if you're hungry on Sunday. You can't heal somebody on the Sabbath and get out. Listen, these are some judging people. And he's warning this people group, be careful how you judge. Judge and you'll be measured to you, will be measured back to you. Why do you see, keep going, Sue, verse 3, 4. a speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye. What's the log? The log is the cross of Jesus Christ that is finished, and you can't pull it out and actually realize he gave it to you. That log that's in your eye is religion that says that he didn't give it to you. He didn't finish it. Listen, you can't even see the speck in your brother's eye because you got the cross of Jesus Christ jamming your vision because you can't see it finished and you don't think you're innocent enough for him to give it to you and trust you. Take the cross of Jesus Christ out of your own eye. So you can see the speck and bear your brother's burden and declare him innocent. Is this good? Dude, I'm like, God, what are you telling me? He said, son, that log is you keep dragging people to the cross when I finish the cross and you won't go drag them to yourself. I'm a sin-killing machine. John chapter 20, he says he comes off the cross, finishes it, and he goes to reveal the new covenant, the new creation. And he goes, oh, by the way, you're a new creation. Why? Because I finished it. Here's the baton. And he breathes on him, and then what does he say? Whosoever sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain will be triumphed. This is the keep the log of the cross in your eye and you can't heal your brother's speck. And you won't breathe life into situations. Does this make sense? Listen, I've wrestled this all week thinking I'm a heretic. Because this goes against every religious teaching I was taught. I was taught, you know, you got a good dog and a bad dog. And the dog you feed is the one who lives. Listen, there ain't no dogs. Hot dog, they're gone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 7. I don't think I gave Susie this. Even when you were dead in your trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Yeah. Together with Christ. Yeah. By grace, you have been saved. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Listen, this is I believe we are just starting to scratch the surface on the mysteries of grace. So I'm not talking about the mysteries of the cross. The cross finished it, but we haven't understood that he handed everything he did to us to be like him, to do greater than him. I mean, I haven't had thorns on my head and marks on my body and nails put in there, but he did, but he gave it to me to operate as if it's already been done. And he said, listen, I finished it. Now you go be me. How can you walk up to somebody in the streets at Walmart and say, you need healing if you can't say your sins are already forgiven? You were crucified to me, so let me show you the crucified me. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love the hell out of you. All of this starts with the baptism of innocence. The level of walking in this kind of grace, peace, and power is that I wasn't just forgiven, I'm innocent. I declare you innocent. See, he said to them on the other side, judge not, lest you be judged. I'm on this side now. I judge you as innocent. Isn't that a different judgment? I judge you healed. I judge you full of peace, divine empowerment. How can you do that? He gave it to me. He gave me the car keys and said, drive it. Drive it like you stole it. Drive it like you stole it. It's almost that kind of exchange. That's his mercy. That's his grace. Is this making sense? Have I messed up your theology today? Say this. The world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Stand up. Did Jesus take care of the sins of the world? Then the world doesn't have a sin problem. And when they think they do, you need to explain that they were crucified to you and how that worked. It just changes your evangelism, doesn't it? Here, say this prayer. I'm a sinner, thank my grace. No, you're saved. Why? Daddy told me. Daddy told me that he finished it at the cross. So I just want to explain the cross to you. You're innocent. There's no more shame. There's no more humility. There's no more fear. Oh, by the way, and if you'll go give it away for everybody that did you wrong, then you can have peace and mercy. That's the rules. God made them. Follow them. How many need more peace? Put your hand over your heart. See, individual, follow the rules. Come under the law of Christ. Disregard the religious law. And come under the law of Christ. He gave it to me to give it away. And I declare you innocent. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.